to my show.
This is Active FM. This is my show, but not my show, with my man Musa. I myself, Luando, from Johannesburg. That's where we are. I'm a lover of sport. I love sport. But most important thing, I love God. I love creation, you know. And I think there's just beauty. And most important, actually considering that mind, you know, behind creation, it's very, very amazing. I love, you know, cars racing. I love soccer. I love tennis. I used to play tennis, you know. I can still play tennis. I think I just need, you know, to train up so that I can show Musa that, you know, I can do this thing well. We grew up playing soccer, you know, we... there's a show that I spoke about, you know, how we grew up, how we were so creative. We didn't need to buy a soccer ball. I mean, if we had plastics, we would make a ball out of plastics. You know what I'm saying? So as it was said, this is our show, but not our show. Where you find us is a place where to be, where you get inspired, where we talk about facts, you know, most important thing, things that matter, things that bring hope and life into who you are as a human being. So it's very important, you know, to listen to our show. And we believe that you are a world changer. We believe that you matter. We believe that you are very, very, very special.
I welcome to the show. I am the blues man, Musa, but yeah, call me the blues man. I prefer the blues man. And this is not my show, and Luando and I will be sharing interesting stuff. And by the way, I'm from South Africa, Johannesburg. Yes, from Johannesburg. And I hope you be blessed, because what we're talking about is interesting. You're gonna be blessed. I know you're gonna be blessed. So stay tuned. I know you wanna listen. So stay tuned. Yes.
Good one, Musa. This guy is incredible. I mean, if you have heard him, you already know that this guy is a legend. He's too much, you know. He's a legend. And we have come to the point where we introduce our topic. There is more. What if someone had to say something about yourself, more about yourself, even unknown things about yourself that you don't even know about yourself? What would you reply? You know, what would be your reply to that person? You know what I'm saying? And would you want to listen more about what they say about you? I'm not talking about people that will let you down. You know, they will tell you nothing, you will never amount to anything. But people that will actually speak to your life while you already have that concept that, you know, I'm not that important, I'm not that much, you know what I'm saying? And not specific, because you have that perception, because people have actually labeled you, people have influenced your idea about yourself or the knowledge you have about yourself, but because of your circumstances, because of, you know, your environment inside of you that you always carry with yourself, you know what I'm saying? So but someone comes and he tells you more about something that's positive, something that makes you question. You know, I had a moment in my life growing up, really not having a direction, not knowing how the future would look like, not knowing that today my life will be the way it is. You know what I'm saying? And this person, out of nowhere, it's not even those people that you will actually, you know, consider as people who have wisdom, people who can build you up. You know what I'm saying? And then they normally say, don't judge a book by its cover. So I think I sort of saw the person in the wrong way, but I didn't have any view based on the person. I just didn't expect that someone like that would actually, you know, speak so much over my life to a point. The reason why I'm mentioning this thing is because it's something, you know, that is impacted me a lot. It has been injected, you know, into my mind, you know what I'm saying? And it came in my life at the time when I had no direction, you know what I'm saying? I had no picture of how my life would look like, you know what I'm saying? And I'll be learning about things that I'm learning about today, and I will be, you know, having whatever dreams that I have today, and life will be, you know, better. I didn't know about that. I was just, you know, a person was living carrying so much, you know, confusion with himself, because I really didn't have an understanding about what life is, about who God is, and about success and stuff like that, you know. And so it's something that, you know, that, and it was not something deep, you know, and people that will say something deep, but I just know those words, they impacted me. And he spoke about, you know, how God will bless me, and you know, I'm different, and yeah, stuff like that. And I remember also now coming, I was still in Eastern Cape, now being in Joburg. This was very interesting. So we're coming from a certain place, and I was walking with this guy, sort of like cousin, a friend at the same time. And this guy was, an old guy, was jogging, exercising, man, it's still in the morning, and he just stopped there and he said, you know, guys, God loves you. I mean, those words impacted me. You know how that has changed my mindset from that moment. And I'm thinking, I still remember even what happened there, what happened after the questions I had, you know, in myself. And I was like, you know, maybe there is something about me. Just because he said God loves you, because of that, just that statement, you know what I'm saying, put so much into my life. I'm like, you know, maybe there is something about me. You know, when something gives you hope about yourself, and you're thinking, well, maybe I'm better than I know myself. You know, maybe I'm good than I think I am. You know what I'm saying? And so that's actually the thing to say, yeah. What if someone had to tell you that you're more than you are, in a positive way? And that's actually the thing that we're going to be talking about, because I'm going to be reading a scripture. Very important. This is amazing. And, you know, I was reading this thing yesterday, and it blew my mind. And Jesus is actually speaking here. They call this a sermon on the mount, or at the mount. I hope I'm right. Matthew chapter 5 verse 13 to verse 16, it says, and you are the salt of the earth. That's a big statement. You know, Jesus was surrounded by the crowd. You know, he had this, you know, crowd, and he was on the mountain with his disciples, and these were his words to these people. You know, you just came from home. You heard about this guy who can preach, who can do, you know, miracles and all that. And you have been looking at yourself, you know, as someone who doesn't carry so much value. You know what I'm saying? Because most of the times you have been told, and you have been depending, you have been raised in this system, that doesn't really make you, or make you look at yourself as this big person. You know what I'm saying? Because especially those times, most important people, I believe that they were regarded as, you know, strong people, leaders, were the Pharisees, people who were more like into practicing law or passing law to people that were always serving at the temple. You know what I'm saying? And Jesus comes, and here he tells you, you are the salt of the earth. Wow. I just came out. Imagine you were going to the shop to buy something, and someone, you find yourself, you know, in this big crowd because they listening to this person, and then you hear that you are the salt of the earth. It doesn't even say you are the salt of your country. It says you are the salt of the earth. But if the salt loses its saltiness, how can it be made salty again? It is no longer good for anything except to be thrown out and trampled underfoot. This is the thing. I'm going to explain this part. It touches me. It moves me. And which means, most of us, we are the salt of the earth, but we don't know that. Why? Because we really don't know even the saltiness of who we are. You know what I'm saying? And she says, you know, your saltiness is so big that it's not just, you know, capable for your family. It's not just capable for your city, but it's actually capable. It's for you to be the salt of the earth. And then it goes on to say, you are the light of the world. A town built on a hill cannot be hidden. Listen to that. You are the light of the world. Doesn't say of South Africa, of China, of Bulgaria. It doesn't say, you know, the salt of Gabon or Gambia or South Korea or Mongolia. It doesn't say that. You know what I'm saying? It says, you are the light of the world. And it says, a town built on a hill that cannot be hidden. Neither do people light a lamp and put it under a bowl. Instead, they put it on its stand and it gives light to everyone in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before others that they may see your good deeds and glorify your Father in heaven. So he's actually saying that no one, you know, a light lamp and put it under a bowl. You know what I'm saying? But they make it, you know, they put it where it's going to outstand, where it will fill the room with the light. And again, but if you are the light of the world, who made you to be the light of the world? So which means God made you to be the light of the world. And what does that mean? What comes into your mind? If God, made you to be the light of the world, not just of your nation, of your world. And it shows that God placed you not under a bowl or under a bed, but not under a nation, but God placed you on top of what? Of the world, to be the light of the world. Very interesting. You know what I'm saying? When someone says, you're supposed to impact the world. When someone says, you're supposed to impact, you know, the world, the people of the world, the economy of the world. You know what I'm saying? I mean, the legislation of the world, where the laws of the world that are being put there. You know what I'm saying? And this is very interesting because this is someone who's saying more about you. But do you think, or I think, or believe that I am really what Jesus says about me? Is there any source? Is there any, you know, object that you know that says so much about yourself? You know what I'm saying? And for me, this statement is just something that shows that this person who was speaking here, he really knows what he was talking about. You know what I'm saying? I mean, what was God thinking about you when he made you? You know what I'm saying? What did God tell himself that he's doing when he was making you? You know what I'm saying? And I mean, does God really see me as this person? Because when he was speaking here, I feel like Jesus was telling everyone that was listening, you are important. You're supposed to be leading. You know what I'm saying? Obviously, through our actions we lead and all, then that's the most important thing that we need to do. You know how the Bible in the book of Ephesians tells a man that a man who leads a church, stuff like that, he should first be able to manage his family. You know what I'm saying? And that's how things are. You know, that's what we need to be fighting for, to not be good out there, but at home, you're just another thing. So that's the thing that we need to be praying for. Sometimes you may not get it right, but the most important thing is that, you know, you pray. Most of us, you know, we mean to ourselves. I mean, if you're not a leader to yourself and you're not the light of the world to yourself, it's a problem. You know, we gotta get to a point where we love ourselves. So that was Luando. We are going to listen to Musa. This is our show, but not our show. Active FM.
Okay, so I'll be reading from Mark 5. There is more, the whole chapter. I'll be going through the whole chapter, which starts off saying they went across the lake to the region of the Gerasenes. Forgive me. When Jesus got out of the boat, a man with an impure spirit came from the tombs to meet him. This man lived in the tombs, and no one could bind him anymore, not even with a chain, for he had often been chained hand and foot, but he tore the chain apart and broke the iron on his feet. No one was strong enough to subdue him. Night and day among the tombs and in the hills he would cry out and cut himself with stones. When he saw Jesus from a distance, he ran and fell on his knees in front of him. He shouted at the top of his voice, "What do you want with me, Jesus, Son of the Most High God? In God's name, don't torture me, for Jesus had said to him, "Come out of this man, you impure spirit." Then Jesus asked him, "What is your name?" "The name is Legion," he replied, "for we are many." And he begged Jesus again and again not to send them out of the area. A large herd of pigs was feeding on the nearby hillside. The demons begged Jesus, "Send us among the pigs, allow us to go into them." He gave them permission, and the impure spirits came out and went into the pigs. The herd, about 2,000 in number, rushed down the steep bank into the lake and were drowned. Those tending the pigs ran off and reported this into the town and the countryside, and the people went out to see what had happened. When they came to Jesus, they saw the man who had been possessed by the legion of demons sitting there dressed and in his right mind, and they were afraid. Those who had seen it told the people what they heard to the demon possessed man, and told about the pigs as well. Then the people began to plead to Jesus to leave their region. As Jesus was getting into the boat, the man who had been demon possessed begged to go with him. Jesus did not let him, but said — now this is important, this is verse 19 Jesus did not let him, but said, "Go home to your own people and tell them how much the Lord has done for you and how he has had mercy on you." So the man went away and began to tell the disciples how much Jesus had done for him, and all the people were amazed. So that's the first story that I read from here. And before I move on to the next, the topic is "There is more." So this man was a demon possessed man, filled with legions of demons in him, and which meant there was plenty of demons inside of him, and he was uncontrollable. I mean, he used to break chains with his bare hands and foot. He used to just rip out of the chains. He used to cut himself in agony and scream out of nowhere and that. And then he saw Jesus. Well, the demons then saw Jesus, and they ran to Jesus, and the man ran to Jesus, and he fell on his knees in front of him. He shouted at the top of his voice, "What do you want with me, Jesus, Son of the Most High God? In God's name, don't torture me." Then Jesus replies, saying, "Come out, this man, you impure spirit." So Jesus knew what was in there, and the demons were afraid already. But this is not it. Jesus casts out the demons and take them to the, and put them in the pigs. The pigs obviously drowned, but there's still more. The more we're talking about here is after this man was healed in a way. He was healed. The people in the city now are scared because they're not used to signs and miracles like this. So now they're scared because they knew who the man was, and they knew what he used to do and all that. And now he's off mind now. He's no more out of mind. So then the people chase Jesus now because they're afraid. So they start chasing Jesus, and Jesus didn't fight. He got into the boat, and the guy who was possessed with the demons ran to Jesus and pleaded and begged, "Please don't go, don't go, don't go." But Jesus then replies — now this is what's significant about the story — "Go home to your own people and tell them how much the Lord has done for you and how he has had mercy on you." So if you look at it in this way, what I see in this is that me, myself, I can only reach a certain amount of people. I can't reach everyone. There's people who's going to reject me, but the people I save, they can have connections to people I don't know. They can reach people I don't know. So Jesus sees it. He's not looking at the situation now. Jesus is looking at what this man can do, what he can do to the village, change the village. He's looking at building a lead, not building someone to follow him. So are you following Jesus, or are you the leader Jesus appointed? Are you changing your own little nation there, wherever you are? So, second story, Jesus raises a dead girl and heals a sick woman. So verse 21 says, Mark 5:21 now says, "When Jesus had again crossed over by boat to the other side of the lake, a large crowd gathered around him while he was by the lake. Then one of the synagogue leaders named Jairus came, and when he saw Jesus, he fell at his feet. He pleaded earnestly with him, "My little daughter is dying. Please come and put your hands on her so that she will be healed and live." So Jesus went with him. A large crowd followed and pressed around him. And a woman was there who had been subject to bleeding for 12 years. She had suffered a great deal under the care of many doctors and had spent all she had. Yet, instead of getting better, she grew worse. When she heard about Jesus, she came up behind him in the crowd and touched his cloak, because she thought, "If I just touch his cloak, I will be healed." Immediately her bleeding stopped, and she felt in her body that she was freed from her suffering. At once Jesus realized that power had gone out of him. He turned around in the crowd and asked, "Who touched my clothes?" "You see the people crowding around you," his disciples answered, "and yet you ask, 'Who touched me?'" But Jesus kept looking around to see who had done it. Then the woman, knowing what had happened to her, came, fell at his feet, and trembling in fear, told him the whole truth. He said to her, "Daughter, your faith has healed you. Go in peace and be freed by your suffering." So remember that. Verse 34, he said, "Daughter, your faith has healed you. Go in peace and be freed from your sufferings." Verse 35, while Jesus was still speaking, some people came from the house of Jairus, the synagogue leader. "Your daughter is dead," they say. Why bother the teacher anymore?" Overhearing what they said, Jesus told him, "Do not be afraid, just believe." He did not let anyone follow him except Peter, James, and John, the brothers of James. When they came to the home of the synagogue leader, Jesus saw a commotion with people crying and wailing loudly. He went in and said to them, "Why all this commotion and wailing? This child is not dead, but asleep." But they laughed at him. After he put them all out, he took the child's father and mother and the disciples who were with him and went in where the child was. He took her by the hand and said to her, "Talita kaum," which means, "Little girl, I say to you, get up." Immediately the girl stood up and began to walk around. She was only 12 years old, and this they were completely astonished. He gave strict orders not to let anyone know about this and told them to give her something to eat. So with the second story, I'm going to interlink it with the first story. So with the second story, you see that the woman had faith and she got healed. Jesus told the synagogue leader to have faith about his daughter and do not worry, and the daughter got healed. So with the first story, we're more focused on the guy, the demon possessed guy who got set free and wanted to go with Jesus, and Jesus said no. He specifically said, "Go to your hometown, go to your own people and tell them how much the Lord has done for you." So basically Jesus tells him to go evangelize, go spread what I've done for you. And I mean, if you look at it nowadays, it becomes a bit difficult because people always have their own little opinions, if I can put it that way, and that's what makes most of us settle back. So how I'm going to interlink the both stories is that the second story speaks about faith. The first story is telling the person to go. So you can only go once you've had faith. You understand what I'm saying? So you can't believe for, well, how are you believing for something if you don't have faith, first of all? So if you're going to do something, if you're going to evangelize, going to speak to that person about Jesus that you really feel needs to hear about Jesus, it's not something like, "Yo, nah, I'm good at talking, so I'm probably going to convince them, I'm very good at talking." Nah, it's not something like that. With things like this, you have to have faith and trust God, because it's not your ability but God's ability. Who you just there to plant the seed. Once you've planted the seed, that's all you can do. The rest is God gonna grow that seed. The only thing you do is help God plant that seed and talking is planting a seed. So whoever you talk to about Jesus, don't be discouraged when they push you away. All I can encourage you is just know the seed has been planted. The seed is there. You've spoken to them about it. They might be reluctant now, but in the future they're gonna remember, hey, in, like in the future, if they're going through something hectic, like what we're currently going through, this the worldwide nation, worldwide what we're going through. Imagine if you spoke to someone way before, like last year, December, no one knew that something this big is gonna happen this year. Everyone was making resolutions of the year being good. But just imagine if you spoke to someone then and they rejected you, they told you, nah, I don't need Jesus. I'm living the life, I'm going to old parties, I'm going to a pub, I don't need God. And then all of a sudden now this year this happens. Now there's no pubs, there's no parties, there's no money to waste, because money is to save now, and things are not looking well. Not a lot of people are working, and that guy now has the opportunity to think, but wait, this person told me this. So never doubt, have faith, and carry on planting a seed in people's hearts. So yeah, I went a bit over my time, but yes, let me hand over to Luanda now.
If you want to accept Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior because you believe this is the word and it has, you know, spoken so much into your heart, into your future, into every sphere of your life, you can accept Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. And we're giving you an opportunity to pray with us. We pray with you, and you just declare these words, you confess, and you believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. That's all you need to do. Pray this prayer. Say, dear Jesus, I accept you as my Lord and Savior. Please come live in me. Dwell in me. Fill me with your Holy Spirit. Wash me clean with your blood. In Jesus' name, I pray. Amen. Don't forget to visit our website on www.activefm.co.za. Our Facebook page /@activefm777. Our Instagram page @activefm777. And our Twitter, @activefm. Stay blessed.
Yes, that was a powerful show. Yes, it took me a while to say powerful because it was, I mean, powerful is not that word, you know, it's not enough to show you, well, to express how the show was. I know you enjoyed, I mean, I enjoyed Luanda's story, yes. Oh, no, that was just a joke, and I'm sure you're laughing, but anyways, if you wanna contact Active FM, you can contact Active FM on Instagram @ActiveFM777. You can catch us on Facebook @ActiveFM. You can catch us TikTok @ActiveFM. I mean, you can catch us anywhere, man. Active FM, just search Active FM, Google, everywhere. You know, we everywhere, because you know what? We're the best radio station out there, and radio has never been better. So stay tuned and listen to the other shows, and stay tuned with us for next week's show. I know you want to listen after this show, so yes, have a good day.
Active FM, radio has never been better.